This is Alan Nicholson in New York City with Senator Javits. Senator Javits charged Congresswoman Liz Holtzman in a debate in New York City today with being dangerously naive and challenged her to explain why she has failed to vote for a single defense appropriation. The cut runs 31 seconds and begins on my count. 3, 2, 1.
I've said about Ms. Holtzman that there is something in her which makes it difficult or impossible for her to support defense authorization. And she covers it up with the fact that she voted for some resolutions about budget and that she voted for appropriations for non-defense and defense all in one package. But she never tells us why, what there is in her mind that stops her from voting for a single defense authorization. We need to know that. Otherwise, it's dangerously naive.
This is Alan Nicholson with the Javits Campaign. Campaigning in Syracuse today, Senator Jacob Javits released his white paper on defense, warning that with the present conflict in the Persian Gulf, the Soviets might use it as an excuse for new moves in Southeast Asia, Africa, or Poland. He said this is no time to cut our defense spending. The cut runs 56 seconds and begins on my count. 3, 2, 1.
The first order of business for the U.S. is to protect our interests in the Persian Gulf. As ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and author of the War Powers Resolution, which prevents presidential wars, I advise a summit with our allies to meet the challenge in the Middle East. And while the West is preoccupied with fighting between Iran and Iraq, we must watch for possible new moves by the Soviet Union or its clients in Southeast Asia, Africa, or Poland. Since Europe and Japan are even more dependent on oil from the Persian Gulf than we are, we must join with our NATO allies in Japan to ensure a proper Western response to Soviet adventurism. Clearly, this is not the time to cut defense spending. I'm gratified that Congress adopted the national defense budget I proposed last May for this year.
Nobody will ever fault you for voting your own self-interest. that his monumental achievements in foreign affairs, in civil rights, and in defense policy tend to overshadow his principal role as an advocate for the residents of New York State. Over the past 2 years, the Senate and the House have been working on a piece of legislation called the Reauthorization of the Higher Education Act. In 1965, Senator Javits was a sponsor and an author of that act. It is the act that sets up basic educational opportunity grants, SSIG, guaranteed student loans, national direct student loans, college work study program. In other words, it is the act that puts you through college. And it failed in the Senate by one vote. Luckily, it passed several weeks later, and Senator Javits has a lot to do with that passing. On the night that it was about to pass, Senator Javits, at a fundraiser in New York City, and as we all know, he doesn't have the money of a major party, but it was also the night that this bill was coming up, and Senator Javits had a decision to make. Does he represent his constituents? Does he represent our interests? And give up possibly a lot of money that he could use to advertise? Or does he go to the dinner, give a speech, make the bigwigs happy, get the money? Senator Javits stayed.
He may have lost money.
He may have lost support. But I hope that we, as students, and there are 300,000 of us in the independent sector, there are almost a million of us statewide at SUNY, CUNY, and the independent sector. And the reason we are able to attend college is because Senator Javits has been working for us, has been giving up political opportunities to work for the people of New York State. And I would like at this time to present Senator Javits with the Friend of Students Award for his dedication and service to the students of New York State.
Thank you. giving it to the student and we prevail. That's a very important thing for you to remember, because it's the most democratic way in a society like our own. It's the consumer who is king. And it is so frequently said when there is debate about what's put on television, for example, that the television viewer has absolute control over what he sees. All he has $1 billion economy, which is vast, enormous, probably, memory serves me correctly, 1/3 of the gross national product of the whole world. It is still not big enough to maintain our establishment, considering the heavy responsibilities we carry, our standard of living, and the security of the whole world, which rests so heavily upon our shoulders. Therefore, the accelerated development of those areas of the world which are chronically poor becomes a critical prospect for our nation. And it leads also our own self-interest, because the markets of the world are getting too narrow for all the industrialized countries to realize their aspirations. And it is only by raising the economic bar of the world that we will be able to remain solid in this and the other industrialized countries. And so young people who are studying today can look forward
no president, and put us into war by simply deploying the armed forces of the United States, as Kennedy and Johnson did to Vietnam. It's an example. We've had 100 such wars in the history of our country. But under this law, which was passed over Nixon's veto, of which I have a great honor to be the author, only a Congress can put us into war. And I believe that that is the ultimate safeguard. So while this president or that president may be a little more prone than another one, we now have introduced what should be the final power, which is the Congress of the United States, in an authoritative right. And that, I believe, will turn out to be a real barrier to improper.
Representing downstate or New York City.